Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, my quest for retro hardware takes me on an unexpected journey to Seattle, Washington. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McCain. Darren, you're familiar with this city called Seattle, right?
I am, actually. Yeah, we've spent some time there.
Yeah, so Seattle is known for a lot of things. You know, it's the home of Microsoft. Blue Origin is there, which is an aerospace company.
Sure. They've got a Space Needle.
Space Needle.
Rock and Roll Museum.
Yeah, Amazon. You know, it's a lot of really great stuff.
Right.
But what's the one thing that isn't in Seattle? Well, and that's like a loaded question, obviously.
Sure, because I have no idea.
Yeah, it's like a hotbed, supposedly, for retro hardware.
Seattle.
Who knew? Hotbed. Well, I mean, we do have the REPC there, which is actually, it's kind of a really cool place. Mm-hmm. If you're into, you know, retro computer stuff and you want to see boxes and boxes and boxes of power cables.
Sure.
It's crazy.
Well, there are treasures in there. You just have to hunt like all good retro places.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to know what you're looking for and you have to be familiar with what is there to know if you're getting a good deal or not. Well, I got an email a couple weeks ago from a fella who was in Washington, Seattle area, and said, hey, so I noticed that you wrote an article on your website about retro hardware, and I was wondering if you'd be interested in picking some up.
Oh, intriguing.
Yeah. So I was like, well, what do you have? So we had a little back and forth, and he talked about how he had like some Commodore 64 stuff, some Amiga stuff. He had three boxes of miscellaneous computer hardware and some computer towers and some retro software on floppy disk. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I definitely do not need any of this stuff.
Sure.
And Darren would think of me as being a little compulsive if I go and just say, well, I'm just going to go up and check it out.
Maybe just a bit.
And you know what happened?
You did.
I did. And it was actually an interesting story. So, I got off an email with the guy on Thursday and saying, hey, so maybe I'll be able to come up on the weekend. I'll let you know. You know, we got some scheduling to take care of, blah, 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 blah. So it turns out on Friday, you know, I go out to dinner and then decide, hey, you know, I'm just going to go.
Why not? I guess, right? You got a free weekend?
Yeah, pretty much. So what I did is I just got in the car and I cannonballed, you know, got an energy drink and just kind of beelined it. From the Boise area to Seattle, it's about 7 hours, and it's not a bad drive. It's all freeway. It's all
nice and modern, at least.
Yeah, put the cruise control on 70, 75 or something like that. There's a couple areas where you want to slow down, obviously, but you can make a pretty good clip. And if you're going in the middle of the night, early morning, the only thing you really have to worry about is animals, because there's not going to be many people on the road. And I think I only saw three people get pulled over, which is actually kind of a lot, because normally there isn't anybody getting pulled over at all. But yeah, so took off, stayed with some friends in Seattle, basically crashed out at 5 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And then got up and made arrangements to stop by this guy's house. And well, I brought back 4 boxes of stuff.
Oh, okay. I see now. Okay.
And basically, you know, this guy, what happened was, his brother was kind of a computer nerd. He reminded, based off of what I saw here, he reminded me of me.
Okay.
So, you know, you got a video card, you upgrade a video card, you go and pull that card out and you put it in a box somewhere because you don't know what to do with it. And then you put the new card in and you game for a little bit more.
And eventually you end up with boxes.
And based off the software, his brother was a huge RPG fan. I mean, we have like, you know, for instance, there's a box here.
All right, let me take a look here because I see a lot of interesting stuff. I'm going to stand up here.
Yeah. So we have an official strategy guide for the Dark Age of Camelot.
Wow.
And that is a...
That's not even a really super high trendy one.
Well, no, that's like, it's an online game, an MMORPG, similar to EverQuest, for instance, but... when I started looking up, because I didn't know what it was, right? We just started throwing this stuff in a box. And it turns out it's like EverQuest. And he had like, there was an entire box of just EverQuest stuff. And I'm like, wow, yeah. So he was real big. And back then, you know, for the people that are new and may not know this kind of stuff, before the internet was the internet, you would have to go to the store and buy your game disc, install it, and then it requires internet access. So you installed the game files, and then you pay for your online subscription to go play the game online. And yeah, you just log on and you can play with all your friends.
So now hold on, because I see even a Windows license in here. I'm starting to rummage.
Oh yeah, this is all good stuff. So ultimately what I was going there for was for, you know, old software. I needed some stuff for my retro PCs. So I went up there. The guy was basically saying, hey, so I have 8 or 9 boxes of stuff. I need to get rid of this stuff. And I go, well, let me take a look what you got. So I start flipping through, and honestly, probably 80% of it was just garbage. I mean, it was stuff I was not interested in. There was hardware there that, you know, like sound cards. You know, sound cards are a dime a dozen. You can't sell them for anything, right? So I made a deal with the guy saying, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to take some stuff. I'm going to take all of your Commodore 64 stuff and pimp it off to a friend, not Darren, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
But I want to go through all the PC stuff. And what I'll do is I'll tell you what. I'm going to sort it for you. So I'm going to sort the stuff that can go off to REPC and be recycled, because this is just junk. Nobody wants it. And I'm going to take all the games, and I'm not going to leave all the boxes for you. I'll just repack them for you. So basically, I went through everything he had or everything that I found and just sorted it off. And I ran off with 6 boxes worth of stuff.
So I see a lot of modern, well, not modern, but popular games in there. I mean, you've got some Zoo Tycoons, you've got a lot of Red Alert type stuff, a lot of role-playing games, really.
Yeah, and the ones that intrigued me was this this Dungeons & Dragons box.
Always great. Those are the STI classics. In fact, those that's a compilation of what we used to call the gold boxes. They were highly sought after.
Yeah, and this is on 5 1/4-inch floppy disk for IBM PC. Now, truth be told, now, you know, I have to be honest here. Every one of these titles is in this box. You can download off the internet.
Well, yeah. And a lot of them have been re-released as classic collections on like GOG and stuff.
Yeah. But some of this stuff, I needed to be able to see the disc to know that it even existed. So it was, from that aspect, it was good. And I mean, I even got Windows 3.1 on 3.5-inch floppy disk. That's, and, you know, and I have a copy of that from way, way back when.
But that's so great for the retro projects.
Well, yeah. It's stuff I can put on the shelf and, you know, maybe I'll do a, start showing not just my hands, but show my face on the YouTube channel, and we'll just have some stuff behind me. But I have a lot of Dark Age of Camelot, which I'm thinking that I'll probably try and list on eBay and maybe sell it. You know, since I have the strategy guides, maybe it'll be worth a couple dollars. Who knows? We have Anarchy Online.
Anarchy. And you got Call of Duty. You got Medal of Honor, the old ones.
Yeah. There was a lot of those first-person shooters that went in the, yeah, I don't want this. And some of them were mistakes. Like, there was a Doom 2 disc.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, well, I really should have kept the Doom 2, but eh. There was also a Doom 3. I'm like, I have those. I don't need that stuff. So, but the interesting stuff and the stuff that I really wanted to talk to you about is in this...
The hardware, huh?
Yeah, the hardware. Oh, yeah. And so Darren found a box of Dyson 5 1/4-inch floppy disks, which... the Dyson discs are really good. They last a really long time. And I went through all of those. They're basically blank or just have weird software on them, which, eh.
Yeah, might be useful, but if not, you got some discs to play with.
Yeah, well, and to your left is another box that's on the floor. Yeah. If you open that one up, this is going to scare Darren.
Okay, that's a... What the?
There's 2 card files of 5 1/4-inch floppies. And these are all low or double-sided double density, so they're 360K. And there
is all this.
This is just weird software.
Just random.
Just random stuff. And I don't even know what's on it, because I started looking at some of them and the discs were such low quality that they started, well, my drive cut lines in them. So it was removing the magnetic media. So a lot of these discs that are in here are just kind of, I'm not going to need them or be able to use them. But the guy was pretty animate about saying, well, if you're taking the floppy disk, you got to take these 2. So I'm like, all right, fine.
Well, you never know. There might be some hidden treasures on some of these.
Yeah. And what I've done so far is, you know, I set up my Windows 3.1 machine and I just kind of pop in a disk and see if I can pull up a directory. And if it's good, then it's good. Now, the one thing that I did run into, though, is that some of these disks have mold on them.
Oh, no. So what do you do about that?
Oh, and actually, pause. I got to go get the tool.
You didn't pause, though.
I know I did pause.
We don't pause on the extras.
No pause. Oh, you haven't even got to slot key.
Oh, yeah. So we got to talk about that later.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right, so back. So for moldy disks, there are a couple of things you can do. You can throw them away, which is kind of boring, right? Or you can 3D print this little device here.
Oh, well, that's fancy looking.
Yeah, so I'll show you how this works.
Oh, okay.
So you have your 5 1/4 here, and this is one that has some lines in it. You can, if you look carefully, you can see them. But anyhow, so you pop open this little dealy bobber, and it's got a spindle that sits here.
Oh, I see, yeah.
I'll see if I can post a picture in the show notes because, you know, this is actually pretty cool. But you put the floppy disk in there, drop it in like that, and you clamp it down on top. And then, since there's this little rubber band in there, you can spin it. Oops.
Oops. Spinning is wrong, apparently. Yeah. So you spin. Okay, so you
So you come in here and you spin this around, and what it does is it will hold the disk in place, and it'll spin, you know, just like a floppy drive. It'll go and spin the media so that you can take some Isopropyl alcohol and a microfiber and clean off all the mold.
How interesting that that exists as a 3D print. That's actually a good use of a 3D printer.
It is. And what's kind of cool is, you know, when this actually works, there's a little arrow here. So you know, you can put this down at the bottom, for instance, right? And you spin it around, and once you get to the end, the arrow will be back on the bottom, and you pick this up, you flip it over, and you can clean the other side, or you can flip it over like this.
Very nice. So have you found good success?
I have yet to try, to be honest, mostly because, you know, these discs I don't necessarily need. And like the Dyson ones that you looked at, these are all double-sided, double-density, and they all work. They're all really good, high-quality discs. So for what I'm going to be doing with my retro stuff, this is going to be plenty. And I still have, you know, new boxes of high density discs. So I don't need the discs, but the guy said, hey, you got to take them. So, you know, I took them.
Okay. So lots on the software, but I know you didn't just bring back software because I'm looking at two more boxes at least here.
All right. So the box that is the small box right here.
Right. Oh, okay. So, oh, here we go.
Yeah. So
a modem, I think.
That's a modem. And so there was a box of just random hardware that, there was a lot
some
in there.
Sound cards.
And I just said, well, I'll just take this whole thing. I'll sort through it a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And these cards that you're holding right now, these are CD-ROM interface cards.
Oh, yeah, because it's got the old IDE controller on it.
Yeah. And there's little sound outputs and stuff like that. And then, obviously, the modem that you saw. And then there's a network card.
Cards and sound cards.
And then there's a whole bunch of video cards down there.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that guy. Yeah, I see them.
And unfortunately, everything in that box is junk.
Oh.
So I brought back a bunch of stuff, and like the ATI card that you just picked up right now, that's an entry-level Rage, which I don't need an entry-level Rage card. And there was a couple of TNT2 cards in there. That's a Fire GL, by the way.
Nice.
But
classic Diamond.
The TNT2 cards, I went and started benchmarking them. For old stuff like this, I'm pretty meticulous in being able to benchmark them, make sure that they're stable. Mm-hmm. And one of those cards did not boot up at all. It would just absolutely not work. And then the other one, when I got into a game, you know, when it activated the 3D shaders, there was a bunch of wavy lines on the screen.
Oh, no.
Which indicates kind of that the memory is bad. So I just ran 3DMark over and over for about 15 minutes, and then it just crashed with a bunch of crazy weird bars.
Well,
so,
I mean, the lesson learned there is that, you know, these are old, a lot of them.
They're old. And these ones, if they worked, it was more or less an opportunity that I might be able to sell them and get a couple of bucks. But since they don't work, I don't really care. But the good stuff that actually does work is in the big box next to it.
Okay, so let's set this aside because I see, that's a slot card. I think I see a slot processor.
Yeah,
oh,
so,
we got motherboards.
Yeah, I picked up all the motherboards that he had because I like motherboards. So that's a slot one. I think it's a ASUS or an ABIT. I think it's an ASUS. And so that one is
with memory and everything.
Yeah, it came with memory. Well, and he had like some SD RAM that was just kind of floating around. So I put that in a static bag, which, you know, it's been sitting in this guy's garage for who knows how long, just all by itself. And then the first thing I do is put it in a static bag.
So this is a 440BX board, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. And I think
that processor, I think, is 400 megahertz. And in the box floating around is a 450.
Very nice.
So, and I definitely don't need slot one processors, but you know, they are actually sought out or sought after on eBay.
This is so nice too, because we talked about this every so often about how we used to pop these open, and these are already opened with aftermarket. Like this one has a nice Cooler Master heat sink on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the one that's on the board is actually a stock cooler because it's the OEM edition.
There's a whole ton of stuff in here.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of video cards. And let me pull those out and I'll show them to you.
Okay. Good save. All right. Those are going on the bottom now. Okay.
Going on the bottom. I'll just put these in my lap because there's a big stack and the table's kind of small.
So if you're just joining the podcast, which seems crazy to believe, you may not know that Dennis is a huge video card hoarder.
No, I'm not.
Totally is. Collector, maybe at the loosest here. So this is a huge find. Okay, so what have you got here?
So that's a Fire GL. That's the one that actually works. Unfortunately, you can't get drivers for it, so it's really hard to test, but out of the two that were in the package, this is the one that has the S video on it. So eventually that'll be up for sale.
Very nice. Good old diamonds. Man, they make good cards.
Okay, so this card right here is not a video card. I'll let you pull that out of the box. You can check it out.
Checking it here. Okay, so this.
Oh, see if you know what that is.
What have we got here? Is this a daughter card for a Creative Labs card?
It is. It's a Wave Blaster.
Nice.
It's the MIDI expansion for the Sound Blaster 16, which you totally don't need, but it's kind of cool that it was in the box.
Very nice. I hope it works because those I haven't seen in many years.
Yeah. We have a couple of video cards for 486 and 386. We won't talk about those.
Yeah, that's pretty old school, but I mean, you might need that for a retro PC.
Yeah, and I have a couple of those. Well, and these are the Trident ones, so they're kind of junky.
Well, if nothing else, you can maybe try to pull the RAM off to repair something else, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is one of the cool cards. It works perfect. Let's see if you recognize that.
All right, so that's got a nice processor on it, but it's little. What am I actually... Okay, now I'm intrigued here.
All right. The guy's brother put everything in Ziploc bags, not static bags, which is kind of dumb, but whatever. That is a AGP Voodoo 3.
8 gigs of RAM, right?
I think so, yeah.
Voodoo 2, huh?
No, Voodoo 3.
Oh, and this is a 3DFX card, huh?
Yeah, 3DFX.
Very AGP. Nice. One of the early AGP cards.
Yeah. And then this is a Prophet TNT 2.
Ooh, the 3D Prophet. I remember these. This was a huge, big deal. Hercules.
Well, those were the cards that were sought after because they were some of the early factory overclocked ones with custom PCBs and everything. I have a couple of those Prophet cards that I utterly love. And one of them that I famously talked about this story about how a friend of mine talked me into taking it back to CompUSA and upgrading when the GeForce 3 came out. And I basically downgraded because I had a GeForce 2 Ultra.
I love it. Maxi Gamer Cougar PCI is what the board says.
Yeah. And the reason I want to keep that one is because it's a TNT 2 with a PCI interface. So it would work well on, say, a Pentium, an old Pentium, and be able to kind of game on it maybe. I don't know.
Very nice.
All right, so now we're into some cool stuff. These are sound cards, Sound Blaster 16s. So you know,
it's like a trip down memory lane, but you got to have them, right?
Yup. All right. Here, in static bags,
ooh,
two matched pairs of Voodoo 2s from Creative Labs.
Oh, so this is an SLI set.
Yeah, SLI set, and here's the Medusa cable and the ribbon to link them.
Very nice. And these work, huh?
They work perfect. I was able to test those.
What a great set.
And as a bonus, there was a third Voodoo 2 from Creative Labs in that stash.
Very nice. Now, these look like they've been well taken care of, so he must have just upgraded.
Well, I put them in good static bags.
Ah, that's what it is.
They were literally in a Ziploc bag, and one of them was just kind of floating around in a box. So, yeah. But those are the highly sought after Voodoo 2s. And I have a number of Voodoo 2s already, so these are probably going to find their way out onto the eBay auction.
Oh my gosh, this is such a good looking card too. Good old 3DFX.
Yeah, it was actually the best 3DFX cards ever released, because once they got into Voodoo 3 and Voodoo 4 and 5, it started to go downhill, because that was when games started to fragment. So we had DirecTV D, and then we had Glide. And once Windows became more prevalent for a gaming platform, it all shifted to Direct3D.
Well, it couldn't have been too much longer after this when Creative Labs exited the video card market completely.
Yeah, it was around this time, actually, because I don't think they did anything after this.
What a bunch of fun stuff. And there's more.
There's more. And this is the diamond in the rough. This is this was a bonus, because I had no idea it was in the stack. And
when I saw it,
I'm like,
what are you?
The trip was worth it after seeing this.
Oh my gosh. Avid, huh?
Do you know what that is?
What are you? I'm looking, because I feel, it's a 3DFX card. Mm-hmm. So this is a Voodoo card too then, right?
Yeah. This is a Voodoo 5.
What? Now, I never had a Voodoo 5 because I went in a different direction. I think we talked about this with the TNT cards at the time.
Yeah, I didn't have anything after a Voodoo 2. Actually, to take that back, I did not have anything after a Voodoo 1.
But now you do. The 5. This is the last one, right?
Yeah. So they had a 6, which was the one that had 4 GPUs on it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was kind of the one that went out to just editors and special people that, you know, knew people. But the Voodoo 2 was the one that, it was the best 3DFX card that you could buy. Built on SLI because of the VS100 chips, I think was what was on there. The same chip that's on the Voodoo 3. Uses the same drivers and everything. Unfortunately, when I tested that card, it wouldn't launch any of the traditional 3D Mark benchmarks. It would actually just kind of crash.
Okay.
I'm thinking that it was a driver issue because everything else worked perfectly. So I'll have to do a little bit more testing with that particular card. But even if it doesn't work, the fact that it's there, I'm like, I never had one. Hey, we'll just put it on the wall.
Yeah, we'll add it to the collection, right? Because that is a strange old card that was almost the pinnacle of production at that point.
Well, it was the pinnacle of the gaming generation and the end of the prevalence of DOS gaming with Glide and 3DFX and Glint and all that crazy stuff. After that, it really became a Microsoft world with Direct3D and TNT 2 cards, the Riva cards, GeForce, the start of the GeForce generation, you know, and at that point, I think instead of this card, I was going with, say I had an Oxygen card, which would play some Glide games, but it didn't play GL Quake, which was dumb. But again, I was doing 3D rendering and drawings and stuff like that for college. So I didn't really need a gaming card. I just needed a card that would game. And then after that was when GeForce 2 was released. So I got the GeForce 2 MX and I got the GeForce 2 Ultra. Paid a lot of money for those cards.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. You compare them to the 4090s, right? They were crazy cheap.
Yeah. Well, and before that, I had a TNT 2 Ultra because, you know, I can't just go with the base model. So I got to go with the Ultra. That TNT 2 Ultra was probably the best card I ever owned at that time. you know, after that, the, you know, the GeForce 2s and all that stuff, it was leaps and bounds better. But that was the card that got me away from needing any sort of 3D effects card at all.
But that's the transition also to AGP, right? Which is where the modern market went to, of course, before we transitioned into the current architecture. But AGP was a massive leap forward.
Massive. And speaking of, there's the two more motherboards that were in that box. And there was a Pentium, just a regular Pentium Socket 7 that didn't have anything on it. And then there was a Pentium Pro, which, as you know, I kind of have a soft spot for Pentium Pro systems right. in general. So I'm really curious to know if those particular boards work, because I definitely don't need them, but they'll be something that I think other gamers or what retro enthusiasts might like. So I can put those out on the eBay channel as well.
Well, very nice. A pretty good haul, if I don't say so myself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of interesting hardware. So where are we headed with this? Any projects in mind or just happenstance?
Well, right now it's happenstance. So obviously I've tested a lot of this hardware, and a couple of the cards are on the chopping block to go and basically recoup costs for me just to head on up and cannonball to Seattle.
To Seattle, what a trip.
So obviously I don't need Voodoo 2 cards, and those are hot. Basically I'm sitting on, I'm guessing, $500 worth of Voodoo 2 cards there.
Oh, I didn't realize they were that hot. Wow.
Yeah, and since these are the Creative Labs ones, and those are the ones that people really like, I might be able to milk it. I'm not sure. I mean, you can list something on eBay, and then you say, hey, give me a best offer, and you get a low ball and say, oh, okay, yeah, it's out the door. And maybe someone got a deal, maybe somebody didn't. Obviously, I'm going to keep the Voodoo 3. I'll probably put that in a retro build. The Voodoo 5, I'm going to try and make sure I get the proper driver so that maybe it'll start working, and I just kind of play around with that one. It's not going to be a kind of a cornerstone of a retro build at all. It's just going to be, hey, I found a Voodoo 5. This is pretty darn awesome. And I don't know, maybe if somebody wants it, make me a deal.
All right, we'll get her working. I'm excited to see actually what it'll do. Hopefully it'll run some benchmarks. That'll be fun.
Yeah, or some games. I mean, obviously there's a box of games here. And as I mentioned, a lot of the software you can download off the internet, the Dungeons and Dragons games, I never played these. And I've always been curious about them.
Oh, I spent a lot of time in Pool of Radiance. And you have Wizardry in there. That's a hot title. Pirates. I mean, and I'm just scratching the surface here. Yeah. So much time spent on those games.
Yeah. Well, and of course, once you build a retro machine, you need... I like the hardware aspect of it, so I could build these computers all day long and just enjoy myself. But if you are building them, you need to be able to do something with them. And obviously, I want to be able to, you know, play some old games. So that's the only way you can play some of these. What was it? GOG software released the Dungeons and Dragons as a re-release or a remaster or something like that.
Right.
But I think they included a DOSBox emulator.
Yeah, and I didn't pick those up, but now you're making that itch a little bit harder to scratch.
Yeah, well, and obviously, you know, you can still buy those games, and you can play them on a modern machine, but you have to jump through some hoops. I mean, even if you download the original Quake off of Steam, it loads it up in DOSBox. It's not rewritten or anything like that to run through Windows, unless you get the remastered edition. So while these games, I could play them on a modern machine, it's like, well, I have the software, and now I know what to look for, so I can download the ISOs or images or whatever. Like these Wizardies, I never played this, but I've seen these all over the place.
Yeah, very popular.
Or had seen those. So, you know, I can play that now that I know that they exist. The Dark Age of Camelot, I think I'm going to try and sell those because I don't want to pay for the subscription to get online and play this. Even though you still can.
Yeah, that's been around for a long time. And it looks like you have every expansion plus some strategy books.
Yeah, and that's somebody's going to want that. And that's what I'm banking for. And some of the other ones, like there was an arcade thing in there, which I had never heard of before. So I can look for that. And that way I don't have to read the original discs, which may or may not be in really good shape, or they might have mold on them or something like that. At least I can get a known quantity of bits and be able to play them and, just have the box in the background. So that's kind of the plan. Overall, I felt that the trip was worthwhile. It was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, who loves cannonballing middle of the night? Well, me, because I love driving, and the best time to drive is when there's nobody else on the road. So that was really the biggest appeal. And, you know, the Seattle area is kind of nice, and there's people there I can talk to and stuff. So it worked out well.
Well, if I've learned nothing else, it's that if you're out there and you have a large collection of this type of stuff, now you know where to go as long as you're in driving range.
Oh, yes.
He will find you, and he will bring the boxes home.
Yeah. And until then, definitely check out the Hardware Asylum YouTube channel, because some of these items will probably make it into a stream either on Twitch or on YouTube. And obviously the builds, the retro build, going to be an ongoing process. I have a new, what is it, a Pentium Pro to build. I have a Pentium 2 to build. I have, the classic case build, which is a 386.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be upgrading that one. I'm going to be putting a 486 in there. So yeah, I have a lot planned. So definitely check it out and let me know what you think. And if you have suggestions, you know where to get a hold of us.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing more of this. Thanks for sharing.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS and follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2022. Thanks for listening.